John chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, reading down through verse 14. Here's what the Bible says. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. I know some even here that don't feel good tonight, and so I pray that you just meet with us, you'd touch us tonight, and Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us tonight as we look at the truths that are in this little story that's tucked away in the Gospel of John. I pray that you would make some truth very evident to us tonight about what our responsibility is as we serve our Savior. I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that's never received Jesus tonight, they'd see the truth, they'd see the way, they'd see the door, and they would decide to go through. They would decide to receive him. But most of us are Christians here tonight, and so I pray, that Holy Spirit, that you would deal with us right where we are in a unique and individual way, that you would speak to our hearts and do in our hearts what you know needs to be done. Help us in everything we say to uplift Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I mentioned this morning I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, your loaves and fish. Your loaves and fish. And this is a beautiful little story. Don't get confused. It's not something that the Apostle John made up. It's a true account. It actually happened, and he just recorded what happened. And as you look at this, as you look at the event that's described in these verses in John chapter 6, there are many, many lessons that you can draw out of this event in the life of Jesus. Now, I'm just going to mention some, sort of just get warmed up tonight. And then I'll get to my message and ask you 3 questions. But there's lots, as I mentioned, there's lots of lessons that you can draw from this passage of Scripture. Number one, there's lots of people that would like to get to Jesus. Lots of people. They may not know they're looking for him, but they're looking for something that satisfies that longing they have in their life. And what they're looking for, we know. They're looking for a relationship with God that only comes through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, in verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company. And I would remind you tonight that there's a great company of people that want to come to Jesus where you live. There's a great company of people that want to come to Jesus where we work. There's a great company of people that need to come to Jesus where we shop and where we play. And there's people in every area of our life that are looking for the Savior, just like these people were looking for him here. And again, we read in verse 14, and when they saw the miracle, they said, this is him. And there's people all around us today that are looking for him. The Bible says, lift up your eyes, for the fields are white unto harvest. And they're all around us, people looking for Jesus. Number two, lesson you can draw from, and again, I'm not going to be exhaustive tonight. I'm not going to mention them all, just 5 or 6 of them. Number two, God uses human instruments. He uses people. He was going to feed these 5,000 folks, 5,000 men. And I think, in addition to the men, all the ladies and the children that were there. He's going to feed a bunch of people. But he was going to need some help to do it. Some people that not help in working the miracle, but help in getting the food out. He said to Philip, we're going to get bread to feed all these people. I mean, he was putting Philip to the test. I mean, the Bible says he knew what he was going to do, but he was testing Philip. And then he would need the disciples, all 12 of them, to help pass out the food to all the folks that were gathered there. Now we have the bread of life. He's the bread of life. It needs to be distributed. And he uses us to do that. That's why he says when he was given the Great Commission, as it's recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Take that bread that came down from heaven that people are hungry for and take it to them and let them get filled up on them, because he'll surely fill them up. So he uses human instruments. Number three, we can see a wonderful lesson here of childlike faith. Here was a little lad. I don't know if he heard Jesus and Philip talking. I don't know if Andrew sought him out. But here was a little lad. I don't think Andrew took his lunch away by force. I don't think he came up to that kid and said, "Hey, kid, give me your lunch." No, I think that kid offered it freely. And I think he shows a lot of faith. I mean, he said, hey, I have a little lunch. It's not much. But in the hands of a big God, it can be a lot. And so in childlike faith, he offered his lunch to Jesus, thinking that who knows what God can do with it. And the Bible says, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 16. Except ye be converted and become as little children. Little children who believe the story that Jesus loves them. Little children that believe the story that Jesus went to the cross and died for them. And until we become as little children, Jesus says, and have that childlike faith, that when the gospel talks about the way, the truth, and the life, he's the one, and there is no other way. So, we can learn a lot about childlike faith. Number four, we can learn a lesson about what a big God can do with a little bit. What a big God can do with a little lunch. Probably barely enough for this little boy. But our God took that little lunch and fed 5,000 men, plus the ladies and the children that were there. And I know some of you might say, well, you know, Brother Darrell, some ladies, they don't eat too much. Just a little, they probably only had maybe a half a piece of fish and maybe a half a biscuit. And you know, there were probably lots of little kids in that crowd, and they probably didn't eat too much either. But I want to tell you what. I think there were people in that crowd like Brother Dick, and like Brother Herb, and like Brother Leonard, and like Brother Warren, and I'll quit there before I get anybody else mad at me, that kept going back to the buffet line over and over, and who are you pointing at? Over. Who? Rod? Oh, Rod, okay. Over again. Over again. Who are you pointing at? Oh, yeah. Okay, stay out of my preaching, would you, Herb? So I think there were men that when Jesus said, "Hey, this is an all you can eat," they took him at his word and they ate all they could. There's nothing too hard for our God. He is the God that doeth miracles. Hadn't changed, still does them today. And then there's another lesson you can learn, and I tried to remember all day today. I was talking to somebody this week, and we were talking about the fact that you can't outgive God. And I, for the life of me, can't remember who it was that I was talking to. But here's a little boy, brought his little lunch, 5 little loaves, 2 little fishes. And the Bible doesn't say, it's one thing I'm going to ask when I get to heaven, who got to take those 12 baskets home? I think Jesus let him take them home. I think he made his disciples say, "Hey, boys, you guys follow that little lad, and you carry those baskets and let him take them home and reward him for being willing to share his lunch." In the Gospel of Luke, the Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." And we cannot outgive God. I mean, he'll always give more back to us than we give to him. So there's some wonderful lessons, and you could probably think of some others that come out of these verses. But tonight, I want to ask you 3 questions to get you to think about your service for Jesus and what you're doing for him. So 3 questions. You'll know when I'm about done, when I get to question number 3. Okay? So, question number 1. Do you believe that in this crowd of 5,000 men, that this boy, this little lad, was the only one that had a lunch? Do you believe that in this great crowd, and again, some think there was probably 15,000 people or more, men, ladies, and children, that this little lad was the only one that had the foresight to say, well, it might be a long day. I might better pack me something for lunch. I don't believe that he was. I believe that there were many others in that crowd that day that had a lunch. I believe there were a lot of other people who sat in that 5,000 or that 15,000, however many you want to think that there was there, that there were many others that had the potential to help feed the crowd. And the truth that I want to get across to you tonight as I ask you that question is this. God does not use us because of our exclusiveness. God doesn't use us because we're the only one that's there. Sometimes too many of us get the Elijah complex. Remember when Elijah was out in the wilderness, Jezebel, he had just led the people to kill all the prophets of Baal, and Jezebel sent word to him, hey, about this time tomorrow, you're going to be just like them. I'm going to get you. And he went running into the wilderness and got out there, and God came in that still small voice. You remember after the earthquake and after the fire, and in that still small voice, and he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? You remember what Elijah said? I'm the only one left. Everybody else has bowed down to Baal. Everybody else has turned their back on you. I'm the only one that's still serving you. I'm the only one that's still being true to you. And Elijah said, God said to Elijah, oh no, you're not. There's still 7,000 people that haven't bent their knee to Baal. And he said, Elijah, I want you to go and I want you to anoint Elijah to take over for you. He told him to go anoint somebody to be the king of Israel. He told him to go anoint somebody else to be the king of Judah. And God said, my work's going to go on. I'm going to use you, but you're not the only one. The Bible says that there were many widows in Elijah's day when the famine come, but the only one that God used was that one at Zarephath when he used her to feed Elijah. And here's what Satan does to us. We get to thinking, hey, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that's still trying to serve God. I'm the only one that's still trying to work for him. And Satan comes to us and he says, you're right. You are the only one. And what can one person do? Why don't you just pack up your tent like everybody else and not try to do anything for God? That's what Satan will do to us. Especially when he knows that we get discouraged sometimes and we look around, we don't see anybody else trying to do anything. We get discouraged and we say, well, I'm the only one. Be careful. That's when Satan comes and he'll say, you're absolutely right. But I'll tell you the same thing that God told Elijah. You're not the only one. There's still a lot of folks that are still trying to serve God. There's still a lot of folks that are still trying to go out and win people to Jesus. There's still a lot of folks that are trying to live right. You're not the only one. Here's the question. What are you going to do with your loaves? What are you going to do with your fish? Here's the second question. Do you think this little lad had the biggest lunch in the crowd? 5 loaves and 2 fish. You think that was the biggest picnic lunch that was there that day? I mean, do you think all these other men and all these other ladies that came to hear Jesus, you think that their lunches all were smaller than this little boy's? I don't. I think there were people there that had great big picnics, if they called them that, but had great big sacks that had all sorts of bread and fish and maybe other things. I think there were people that had planned to come and spend the whole day, and maybe they not only had lunch, but they had dinner as well. Not just the basics like this little boy had, fish and bread, but maybe some dessert, Bill, that went along after. You know how we like to have sweets after our meals. Well, I think that's what they had in their bag, too. I think there was a lot of people that had more food, and I think there was a lot of people that could have come closer on their own to meeting the needs of the crowd that day. I don't think anybody was there that could feed the whole crowd, but there was somebody there that had a bigger lunch, that had more food, that probably had more variety than this little boy. Now here's the truth. You look around, and you might say, hey, there are people around that have more ability than I do. And there are people around that have more talents than I do. And there are people around that have a better personality than I do. And there are people around, because God has blessed them with these talents and with this personality and with this ability. And why don't we just let them do it? I don't have much ability. I don't have much talent. I don't have much personality. And I can see people all around me that have lots more. I think I'll just sit back and let them do it. And I want to remind you tonight that oftentimes God doesn't use the people that have the most to do His work. Oftentimes, and we find it in the Bible, the people that God uses are not the rich who can cast in their abundance, but the little widow that casts in two mites. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, small things count. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, says, a little child shall lead them. Just like in this verse. Hey, there were probably rich men there and rich families there that had big picnic lunches. But you don't hear them giving their lunch to Jesus. Here's a little boy that's got a meager little lunch, five little pieces of bread and two little fishes, and he's saying, hey, Jesus, it's not much, but I'll give it to you. And a little child led the way in giving to Christ. I read a story it's been a while ago, about a meeting that they had, turn of the century in America. Thomas Paine, famous atheist, he'd rented a theater, a hall, and he called a crowd together and he was mocking God. And he was saying all sorts of wicked things about God, denying the existence of God, making fun of God. And he was 20 minutes into this tirade, and he looked up to heaven, and he said, if there's a God in heaven, then let him kill me. And up in the balcony, there was a little 9-year-old girl. And she got to her feet, and she started singing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And she sang the first verse and the chorus. When she got to the second verse, there were four or five people around her that stood up with her and joined in the song. And Brother Lauren, when she got to the end of the song, so the story goes, everybody in that theater was standing up, singing, stand up for Jesus. And the old atheist, Thomas Paine, was sneaking out the back door. A little child shall lead them. It's the little things that count. In the book of James chapter 3, the Bible says a great ship is turned about with a very small helm. A rudder's not very big, but it determines the direction of the ship. You stop and think about it, and you go through the Bible, you'll see over and over again that God uses not the big and the mighty, but the small and the weak to do His work. We think of the story of David and Goliath, and we compare little short David to great giant Goliath. And David was small in comparison to Goliath. Do you know what? He was also small in comparison to his older brother who was in the army. He was also smaller than King Saul, who the Bible said stood head and shoulders above all the other men that were in Israel. And yet God used this little short shepherd boy to go out and defeat a giant. I don't know if this is going to happen in heaven, but I sort of think that God's somehow going to let us see things that happen in the Bible firsthand. And I'm looking forward to seeing where Goliath stands up and says, you mock me. You send me this little boy to fight. You send me this little youth. I'm going to take you, little boy, and I'm going to feed you to the birds. And little David says, you come to me with a sword and shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Big boy, I'm going to feed you to the birds. I can't wait, Brother Gordon, until I see that in heaven. I'm going to have a Pentecostal fit. Amen. Boy, that's the way God works. He uses the small things. Gideon had an army. Remember? In the book of Judges, had an army. 32,000 men, if I remember the numbers right. Against an army that was not numbered. Thousands and thousands. And God says, Gideon, your army's too big. Tell everybody that wants to go home to go home. 22,000 of them left. 10,000 left. God said, still too big. I can't. Can you just imagine what was going through Gideon's mind, Brother Clint? You know, I mean, here we are. They're spread out in the valley. Can't even count them. I start with 32,000 men, outnumbered hundreds to one already, and God sends 22,000 of them home. God says, still too big. Take them down to the creek and let's watch how they drink. And he put them to the test, and 300 of them took their hand and brought it up to their mouth and drunk. And God said, with those 300, we're going to defeat the Midianites. He doesn't use the big and mighty, he uses the small and weak. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's talking about his infirmity. He said, three times I asked God to take away my thorn in the flesh. I told him I could be a better preacher, I could be a better teacher, I could be a better missionary if you just take it away. God said, nope, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, okay, I'll take pleasure in my weakness, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Then God can use me. You may not have the biggest lunch in the crowd. You may not have the most talents. You may not have the best personality. But God will use what you got. He'll use what you got. Question is, what are you going to do with your loaves? What are you going to do with your fish? Question number three. Remember, number one, do you think he had the only lunch? No. You think he had the biggest lunch? No. You think he had the best lunch? No. He had barley loaves. That's what poor people ate. Most people back in that day ate wheat loaves. But he was poor. He didn't have the best. But I'm glad that God doesn't always require the best. In fact, I'm glad that oftentimes God specializes in seconds. He's the God of the second chance. He's the God of the broken things. He takes what nobody else wants and he uses it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You check the Bible out, and over again, you look at what God used. He used a donkey to get Balaam straight. He used a worm, a gourd, and a fish to get to work on Jonah. He used a rooster to get Peter's attention. And he used three murderers, Moses, David, and Paul, to write most of the Bible. You may not have the best lunch, but God can use it. Question is, what are you going to do with your loaves? What are you going to do with your fish? God didn't use the boy's lunch because it was the only one. He didn't use it because it was the biggest. He didn't use it because it was the best. He used it because the little boy gave it to Jesus. He used it because the little boy made it available to the master. He used it because he wasn't selfish, because that little boy said, Jesus, not much. It's not the only one in the crowd, not the biggest one in the crowd, not the best one in the crowd, but I'm giving it to you. I'm making it available to you. And that's what God uses, what we make available to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, the Bible says, For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You see, what that verse is saying, God doesn't want what we don't have. He wants what we have that we're willing to make available to him to use. I may not be very smart, but the little bit of wisdom that I have, if I give it to God and make it available to him, he'll use it. I may not have much of a personality, but if I'm willing to give it to God, he'll use it. I may not, and please nobody say amen to this, would you? I may not be very good looking, but, and don't even laugh, Lois. I may not be good looking, but I'll give what I got to God, and he can use it. I may not have the biggest or the best lunch in the crowd, but if I give it to God, he can use it. And if God could use this little boy's lunch of 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes, just think what he could do with what you have to offer him and what I have to offer him. Much more than he wants our lunch, figuratively speaking, he wants us. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He's got a place for us in heaven. He wants everybody to go there. Not willing that any should perish. That's why he sent Jesus to the cross. The innocent dying for the guilty. One that knew no sin dying for the sinful. And tonight, as I look around, I think by what I know and some I've just met this morning, but I think that most, if not all, here tonight are saved. You're on your way to heaven. But rather than take a chance and not give an invitation tonight, I invite, if you're only one tonight or two, if you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, you don't know for sure because you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, more than anything else, God wants you. He sent his only begotten Son to die on Calvary for you. And all we have to do is receive it. John 1:11, but as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you've never done that, you need to do it tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. Thank you for the simplicity of the Bible. Thank you for the wonderful lessons that it teaches us. And I pray, first of all, tonight, Father, if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that right now they'd see their sin, they'd see the penalty for that sin, they'd see the great price that was paid on Calvary to pay for that sin. And I pray right now, just now, in the quietness of this moment, that they would just simply and with childlike faith ask Jesus to be their Savior. Again, Father, if there's only one that needs to make that decision, I know the angels in heaven will rejoice because they're watching. And the Holy Spirit is pleading with that one to go ahead and receive Christ. And so I pray that tonight, if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus, they'd make that decision. Then I pray for all the Christians that are here. I pray that as we examine what we've done with our loaves and our fishes, the talents, the abilities, the different blessings that you've given us, that we'd be like this little boy. We wouldn't hold anything back. We'd look up to our Savior and we'd say, it's not much. Just a little bit. That's what I got. And I want to give it to you for you to use. And I pray, Father, that every one that knows Christ as their Savior, that's their testimony tonight, that they've taken their lunch, figuratively speaking, taken the things that you've given us, and we've given it to the Savior for him to use. Bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient as to what you tell us to do. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.